Balcone's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and I am so nervous about this episode. No pun intended, I said this in the episode, I don't have another word for it, but I'm giving you a trigger warning this episode. We have the debate, me and Todd, longtime member of the show, we have the debate on whether or not it's appropriate or tolerable, or if it should be, or if it has its place, gun photos with whiskey photos in the Facebook social media world. A lot of people who didn't grow up with this stuff, a lot of foreigners, a lot of Northeasterners, a lot of Westerners, a lot of people outside of Texas, a lot of people in Texas who didn't really grow up around guns, don't care for them, they hate them, really gives them an issue, and some people it gives them a outright, they become very, very, very upset and very angry. And we have historically taken a moderate approach on the subject. So I'm warning you now that if you have a very, very strong feeling one way or the other, this episode is probably not something you should watch. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to lose your respect and love. There's a lot of people I love and respect that are very much against the idea. And our stance on this has upset some people. Like most moderate people, I think they tend to upset both sides equally. So we just kind of basically pick apart the subject, explain our thoughts behind it. I hope that you don't assume anything, and I will say that if you do have feelings on the subject that you'd still like to share with me after this episode, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm open to it. Just don't be insulting or angry. Find a way to express yourself and your valid points, very valid points. A lot of the points have been valid, even though we disagree. There's pros and cons on how to handle both. I'm open to it, so I hope that I hope that this comes across the right way, but I feel like it might be a bit incendiary. So I will try my best to take your feedback as it comes, and just you try your best to give your feedback in the appropriate way. This week's show is, as always, sponsored by Terlata Distill Artisan Spirits, leader in premium artisan products like Bunahabhan, Deanston, Lecheg, Tobermory, Baines, Black Bottle, and, of course, Scottish Leader. Whiskey Neat is also supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass River Imports and Amroot Distilleries. Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exact same standards of Scotch. Amroot Fusion has also received the double gold blind and scored a jaw-dropping 96 points by judges at the Proof Awards. Amroot, I've talked about it in depth. I love Amroot. I cannot get enough of the stuff. They really do a great job. I think Indian single malt beats Japanese single malt. I don't think Japanese single malt nearly compares to what you get out of India, and it kind of drives me nuts at how expensive and how coveted a lot of Japanese whiskey is when there are some really great other world whiskeys out there besides Scotch. So that's it. Two sponsors for the show. Todd joins us today. We talk through this very controversial subject. And I'll say this, I get people's frustration with it. I don't think your frustration, without a really good, solid, unwavering logic behind it, I find some issues with the things that frustrate some folks. We'll explain it in the show. I'm just saying, I think that I'm really trying to hear everybody's point on this. I feel like I'm in the middle, and I'm getting kind of berated over censorship and unnecessary violence, and it seems a bit sick. So I'm open to it. Listen to the episode. Listen to it with an open mind. If you have super strong feelings, don't listen to it. But I'd rather meet with you over drinks and have that discussion. But this is something that arguably plagues the national social media scene. And yeah, so here we go. Without further ado, Todd Grube from Houston Bourbon Society, my co-admin slash moderator of the group. We try to take a even-keeled approach. We'll see how it's received. Just know that I love you. This is giving me total anxiety. So cheers. See how it goes. Bye. So I'm a moderate on most things. I think that the key to the best case scenario of our civilization is some overlap between the left and the right. And I feel like there's a middle ground. And you and I have had these discussions quite a bit. We've had lots of discussions over trying to put yourself in that person's shoes, trying to step back and look at it objectively. I'm a moderate because I grew up in a extremely right scenario. Not the racist right, the religious right. And just to give a little background, I grew up Pentecostal. I've talked about it on the show. Women aren't allowed to cut their hair. They're supposed to wear skirts because pants are form-fitting, and thus you are pulling the gaze of dirty men.
Is that why you always make fun of me for tight shirts?
No, because yeah, yes, you're pulling my gaze. No, that's because you're fat. So growing up, my aunt, I used to visit my grandmother quite a bit. My grandmother would take me to church every Sunday, so I'd spend weekends with my grandmother. And I came home from school one weekend to go to my grandmother's house, and there was a comic book size smoldering pile of ash in the front yard, scorched, burned into the ground. And it didn't click right away, but I walked in and my grandmother, my aunt was there, my aunt Ginger, who was the most religious of my family members, had taken all my X-Men comic books and had set them on fire because she felt that they were the devil. And I remember freaking out because I had collected all these comic books, and I get one religious family member come through and just burn it because the Wolverine with the claws and those comic books were very graphically
satanic.
Written. Yeah. Same thing. Pokemon cards was my generation, and in junior high, I remember our church taking a firm stance that Pokemon cards were created by an evil organization called Wizards of the Coast or whatever the name of that company is. And that each Pokemon was a representation of a certain demon. It was just a wild ride of everything being so bad and out to trick you. Same thing, we weren't allowed to go to movie theaters. Movie theaters are inherently a dark and dangerous place. And if you were to go to a movie theater with a girl, things might happen. And therefore, you're putting yourself at risk for the devil. Everything's bad, right? Even when I grew up and I met progressive people in our church that would say a beer, you know, if you you can have a beer every once in a while, it's not a big deal. Even those progressive people, I remember being at a friend's house one time and the husband had two beers and one football game on a Sunday. And the wife and husband got into a full-blown fight about it, about him being an alcoholic.
Going overboard.
Over two beers.
But how did you feel about all this growing up?
Did
you buy into it? I mean,
no.
when you're a kid, to some degree, you do believe in demons and things like that, right?
So there is a lot of that I got sucked into. And that's not to say that there's anything. Let me clarify. I don't think that I'm not bashing being Pentecostal. What I'm saying is that there was some really strong stances taken that I think did more damage than good. And as I got older and you realize that certain things aren't bad or inherently bad, it opened my mind to being open-minded to how things are in other places that aren't that big of a deal, specifically around guns and booze, right? So I have always taken the stance that when something comes across my plate as to whether to decide it's good or bad or dangerous or unhealthy, I mean, even as a civilization, our entire nation has overwhelmingly changed their opinion on marijuana and gay marriage just in the last two decades. Gay marriage was the devil, now we don't care. Marijuana is the devil, now we are fighting for it. There has been this overwhelming movement to show that, hey, maybe we were being a little high strung about some things.
Yeah. It all goes back to ignorance on a topic. Like you said, calling Pokemon the devil because you don't really understand what the Pokemon is, just a child's kind of collecting toys. Same for everything else.
It's something that, as an admin of a group and trying to decide how we want things done, I've learned, or at least I strive to, take both the extreme left of on opinion and the extreme right and try to find a middle ground. And sometimes that middle ground disagrees more with one side than the other. And that is where we are today. So I proposed, there's an ongoing thread, and I'll give you a little backstory here for those listening. So many, many moons ago, about a year ago, someone started taking bottle kill photos. Bottle kill photos are common in the Facebook world, where you lay a bottle down after you kill it, you take a picture of it, boom, hey, look, I just finished this bottle. It's kind of a fruitless post when you think about it. It's just saying, hey, look, I killed this delicious bottle. But it's something that we've always allowed. Not voyeurism. Exhibitionism is an accepted part of the entire Facebook world, right?
That's why they allow pictures.
Yeah, that's why they allow pictures. So someone started doing bottle kill photos with presumably an empty gun pointed at the bottle, like, hey, I just killed this bottle. And for a while, we were somewhat okay with it, though it was a bit cringeworthy. But eventually, we started seeing incidents in which someone was...
And there were always complaints.
Always complaints. Every single photo.
Everyone. Every time.
Every single
even
photo.
Now.
And we would try to quell the masses to get them to calm down and tell them that, you know, it's not technically illegal. They're not being, you know, there's nothing inherently opposed to the idea of a photo of a gun and a bottle in the mm-hmm. same photo. However, we started seeing cases of people pointing guns at empty bottles, and behind those guns, sometimes their fingers were on the trigger. Sometimes there was a dog in the background. One time there was a kid not directly behind the bottle, but off to the side. In gun terms, you'd refer to that as downrange. Mm-hmm. Extremely, extremely dangerous. So we put a stop to that. We do not care, or our next stance as admins of the group is that we don't care about the photos. We don't think they're inherently dangerous as long as you're not pointing a gun at something, whether it's unloaded or not.
Or finger on the trigger.
Well, finger on the trigger, but even if your finger's on the trigger, we've been deleting those photos as well.
Yeah.
So now we are starting to see a resurgence of these photos, not the dangerous ones, but photos of really nice, expensive mm-hmm. rigs or expensive guns next to bottles. And the question has now been re-risen. Is it dangerous? Should it be allowed? And we are faced with this conversation. So that's the premise of today's episode. I made a post on social media the last 24, 48 hours to get people's feedback and what their thoughts are, and we thought we should address them. So
yeah.
What are you drinking first? Because we're going to need a few drinks for this episode.
So we were just talking about Knob Creek picks and bringing in a Knob Creek pick. So I brought in the recent Rice Fine Wine pick, which is... s'mores, and it kind of is marshmallowy, chocolatey.
Yeah, I can tell you right up front, and we mentioned this in Zoom the other day. Just a couple years ago, E.H. Taylor was overlooked by most people in this hobby. Now it's full-blown allocation, can't find it, goes for crazy money
on
secondary.
Can't even get the small batch.
I think Knob Creek is the next in line for this. They're next in line. At a certain point, not too long ago, even 6 months ago, there was a bit of an oversaturation of Knob Creek picks, and now, try to make a request for a sample kit. It's not going to happen. They've put a halt on it. They're focusing specifically on Knob Creek Rye, mm-hmm. and it's something that is people are going to miss it when it's gone.
Is it a change of focus, or is it because we noticed that last year the age went up significantly? Like it went from, you know, I think this one's a 11. But last year it was 14 years, 15 years.
No, that's been common for a long time. In fact, every pick that HBS has done, or if you combine HBS and the Whiskey Social, we've done at least 3 Knob Creek picks a year. Last year it was at least three bean picks. We did a rye, which was Mr. White. We did Mr. Orange, which was a bourbon. And we just recently released... tip of my tongue. Maybe we only did 2 last year.
Yeah, I think it was 2.
But we've done at least 2 a year for the last 4 years. They're just fantastic. I mean, and they're a value
for 50, 55.
I mean, even if they were all 10-year-old picks, yeah. You know, the 120 yeah. proof, they're about the same price as the Four Roses pick, mm-hmm. with a bit more approachability up front. I didn't care for that okra nose at first, and I'm wondering if it's just a stained mm-hmm. glass or what. Anyway, so let's jump into it. What are your thoughts on guns in
so,
bourbon groups?
So I'll go back a couple years because, you know, I'm not originally from Texas. So I'm originally from New Jersey, Philadelphia area. And in, I think especially in urban areas in the Northeast, guns aren't a thing unless you're like in a gang
yeah.
or like a drug dealer.
It's like and trucks. We're big on trucks
different.
In Texas.
It's just
yeah.
looked at different. Yeah. People don't hunt. I'm not going to say people don't hunt at all. And obviously they do in the Northeast. But that was in more like the rural areas, like out in New Jersey or like way out in Pennsylvania that you would get into that. So guns, I'm not growing up, did not grow up around guns. Never fired a gun in my life until I came to Texas. And I would say most of my friends could say the same. It just wasn't part of it. And it's a liberal area generally. So people look at it as like, this is a potentially dangerous thing. There should be, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole political side of it, but I think it's an important thing to talk about because that's what creates the divisiveness, I think, in our group. When a gun is posted,
It's not just our group. It's at a lot of the national groups.
If you see a gun, people see that as a potentially a political statement that you're like, you know, an NRA person and you're going to be on one side of that argument. And that's unfortunate because it's just a thing that person likes and they're displaying it and hopefully in a responsible way.
Part of what I wanted to do with this conversation with you is to pick apart each other's stances as we're talking. Not to say that we agree or disagree, but just to kind of really pick it apart. So you mentioned that it's not your cultural norm, and it's not a lot of people's cultural norm, mm-hmm. which I think is part of what makes people so angry, is they're looking at a side of the culture that treats it a bit differently, not necessarily more dangerously, although it is perceived that way. A lot of people perceive it as being a little bit more reckless, a little yeah. bit more crazy.
And I think it's I think that what you started out talking about, your upbringing, is important when applying it to this subject. Why was it, when I first moved here, why did I really dislike the guns being posted? Because of ignorance. I wasn't used to them. I don't fully understand how safe it is to point a gun or to have your finger on or off the trigger. And, you know, I'm talking about a few years ago. And I think part of it is people who don't have guns or are not as familiar with the gun culture in general, and they just automatically say dangerous. You know, dangerous.
That's the part that I want to push against. Yeah. I feel like there's an inherent need to say that something is dangerous. And it's funny because there are other times in which it's not dangerous, meaning there are guns and ammo, right? There are magazines dedicated to pictures of guns, and there are magazines dedicated to pictures of whiskey. Mm-hmm. But somehow putting yeah. them together to some people sends the message that you are being inherently dangerous or advocating for playing with guns and yeah. drinking. And I disagree with that. I think that it and backing up a second, the word ignorance, just to be clear, is when I use it during this conversation, it's not as an insult. It's to say that simply it's either not part of something that you're familiar with
yeah.
or something that you know what you're talking about.
I see it
about.
As lack of knowledge. That's what that's what I mean. You are not as familiar with that with yeah. that topic.
So you've got full-blown and even super heavy Instagram accounts that there's one yeah. called and this is part of the reason why it's come up again is there's a guy named Jeremy, and forgive me, Jeremy, if I pronounced your name wrong, Hedin, H-E-D-I-N, Hedin. He has an extremely popular Instagram account with over 170,000 followers called What the Kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it's spelled, all one word, no spaces, What the Kicks. And his account is guns and booze and guns and shoes.
Mm-hmm.
What do guns and shoes have to do with each other? Is that sending a message that you should guns and shoes and knives doesn't send the message that you should run with scissors yeah. necessarily.
Right.
Is it sending a message that you should run with guns? I think that it's a false equivalency to say that just because two things are pictured together, that it's sending a message that it's okay to drink and play with guns.
Yeah.
Just like there are pictures of naked women on cars. That's a big thing, right? Low rider magazines. But
yeah, it's combining things that people like.
It's combining two things that are aesthetically pleasing
yeah.
to some that look good together in a photo, not necessarily saying you should have sex on the hood of a lowrider.
Yeah.
I think every hobby merits photos, whether you're a shoe guy, a cigar guy, a clothes guy. There's a lot of guys. There's a guy in our group, Ryan Bridges, that has become super active in the Facebook world, but I met him through Instagram, and he had an overwhelming clothing aesthetic that he did for all of his photos back mm-hmm. then. Every hobby merits photos, Instagram photos.
Well, and also when we take pictures, not everybody in the group, but you're thinking about the placement of the things in the photo. You're trying to make it look nice. You know, having a gun in there, I'm not going to say it's the same as making sure that everything in the picture looks right, or that there's, you know, you're adding something else in the background there. But it's, I kind of see it as just another accessory. Like you said, is it a girl in a car, or are you, you know, shoes combined with whatever? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's irresponsible, but that's why we don't allow people to be pointing the gun anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's where we draw the line is
right, and that's where, as a private group, we can say that. We don't want you to do that just because, yeah, it may send an irresponsible message. And there are a lot of people, and I read it in the comments last night, that when they hear that, they think, stop being such a snowflake. Why are we being such snowflakes about this? I'm a responsible gun owner. If I want to point the gun, you can believe that it's safe. But that's kind of I feel like where we give a little bit to the other side and say, all right, we're not going to allow that. Put your guns in the picture. Let's just not point them. Why do we need to do that?
Sure. I think there's a middle ground for all. And let me be clear, and I should have prefaced this. I own guns. I'm not posting photos of bottles and guns. I'm not. It's not my thing. And some of them, most of them, when I see, is mostly just them showing off.
A cool gun. Yeah.
It's not my thing. I wouldn't do it. But also, there's lots of things that I see posted in a group that I don't care for.
Yeah.
But I don't let it bother me. And that's something we should mention. There are four camps in this, unless I can think of another camp. There are the people who do it and love it and support it. That's camp one. There's people who feel nothing, ambivalent about the whole thing. They don't care. It doesn't bother them. It's not their thing. I'm in that camp. There's the people who have guns, and it's not their thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make them angry. It's not their thing. I'm also in that camp a little bit. And then there's, I think I covered that, right? And then the fourth camp is people who hate it so much that it causes them to either rage quit or throw insults or literally to be very aggressive with it. And just because they see a gun in a photo.
Yeah, they start making comments about, you know, the masculinity of the poster.
Sure.
Like, why do you feel the need to show your big gun?
Start commenting on their size of their penis.
Right.
There's been a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Is someone doing it for ego purposes? Absolutely.
But we all are.
Yeah,
that's why if you make a post, why are you doing it? To get attention.
To start a conversation.
To have people look at your picture.
To show a cool photo.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who's got an Instagram following, even a remote Instagram following, that's what it's about. There's no fighting on Instagram. It's more or less, here's a picture of this if you like it.
Mm-hmm.
Double tap. If you don't like it, move on. I feel like I screwed that up. There's the people who do it and support it, people who don't care, it doesn't bother them, people who don't care for it. Yeah, I feel like I screwed that up. I'm going to have to go double back.
I mean, look, whether it's three or four groups, you covered.
I covered the gist of it. The spectrum.
Yeah.
My whole point is I think you are going to, no matter what we do, and we've seen this with other things in these groups, you're going to alienate and piss off some people. It's just part of the game.
Whatever decision is made.
Whatever. I mean, we've had people frustrated with closed bottle shots. Yeah. You guys should stop allowing closed bottle shots.
Right.
You guys should stop this. You guys should stop that. You're going to piss people off. I realize that in this case, to some people, these are killing machines. And there was someone that complained about a fishing photo.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we had a guy who went deep sea fishing, caught a tuna, pulled it into the boat. What color is the inside of most fishing boats? White.
Yeah.
So when you see it covered in blood, there were people who had a genuine issue with us allowing death photos of a fish in the group.
Yeah.
And we told them, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here's the great thing about these groups. If you disagree with what an admin or how an admin decides to run the group, you can do one of two things. You can either block the person, the incident that you hate. If you've got a person in the group that's posting nonstop photos of guns, you can block that person. Mm-hmm. You can even snooze that person.
And I always think that's the best way to do it, because in a group like ours, we're trying not to impose too many rules. Because then it feels
but to
like
be clear, we're not,
very
we're not,
restrictive.
To be clear, we're not trying to avoid confrontation.
Yeah.
Someone that I love and respect dearly who feels very strongly on this, me and him kind of butted heads yesterday because he was so insulting with every one of his responses. And later he sent me an apology. We're not trying to avoid conflict, but we are trying to take a stance that if they're not doing something that's a real safety issue, and just because you feel like it's a safety issue does not mean that it's an actual safety issue. Anyone who's I was in the rifle team at school. We taught safety. I taught safety. I was the rifle captain. We would take them on competitions. We know safety inside and out. We competed. It's not – I know gun safety. I have my CHL. I took that course as well. It doesn't mean I'm a gun nut. I'm not going to be posting these photos, but – I feel like I can definitively say what is and what is not, or at least make a common sense judgment call that something is or isn't. If your issue is they got their finger on the trigger, agree with you completely. If your issue is that they're pointing it at something, agree completely. But an inanimate object next to another inanimate object, whether it's shoes and whiskey, which somehow is also Matt Chow is famous for his photos of his shoes and his whiskey.
Yeah, but you know, these are all items that are collectible. And that there are groups
that's
built
it.
Around.
There's entire Instagram, almost 200,000 followers for an account that's guns and shoes
right.
and guns and liquor.
Right.
That there's obviously people who enjoy
there's
these things.
Yeah, there's an audience for it. And Jeremy, to his credit, takes great pictures, and the pictures look great, and he takes care in just putting a gun in the photo, and that doesn't bother me. I don't like to get into lots of rules, too many rules. Again. We try to kind of give a little to both sides on an issue that's divisive and let members filter the rest out themselves, as you said. Just block that person.
I'm going to mention this in the opening, but I'm going to mention a trigger warning, no pun intended. I'm also going to mention that if there is something that you have, some part of this episode that you want to respond to, I'm open to it. I've been not rifling through, but I've been fielding messages on this subject for several months now, for over a year now. I'm open to it. Just leave out the insults. That's it. Just let's have a dialogue. I think that someone pointed out, and I'll mention her by name because I love her and I find her an incredible person. And she works in this industry. I hate that she moved to Austin. Adrian Beard Hastings. She points out that if it's inherently dangerous, and if I posted photos of guns and booze together, I would lose my job. She works in the middle tier, the distributing tier. I don't agree that that's necessarily the case. There's three things you should ask. Can I get in trouble? Should I get in trouble? And does it matter? Can your job harass you and tell you shouldn't do something? Absolutely. Should they? They're a private company.
Yeah.
When they legalized weed, my company I work for is an international company, they released a statement that if you are based in one of these states where it's legal, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not part of our company
policy. Well, again, it becomes a little political or a divisive item. So you're right. If weed became legal here, would I start putting weed in my pictures because it's something that I like? I would know when I put that there that there are going to be people, maybe not as much as guns, because I think people have kind of, you know, loosened their stance generally on weed. But would it cause a reaction? Of course it would. And I think that the people who post the guns, some of them do it for a reaction because they know that there are people out there that are going to react to it. I'm not saying all of them.
Let me agree with you on
that. But we know that there are some that do that.
That is definitely something that some people do. There's some people are trying to poke the bear and trying to upset those
sure.
because they know that there are people who are upset. A great example of that is Bourbon Info Exchange. Bourbon Info Exchange was an international group with 30,000 members just a couple years ago. And the gun photos became such an issue that the admin of that big group stepped down. and turn it over to someone else. And that someone else loved to F with people and change the name from Bourbon Info Exchange to Bourbon and Guns, mm-hmm. previously known yeah. as the Bourbon Info Exchange. The point is that there are some people who do that, and if you want to judge that person for purposely trying to poke the bear, totally understand. Mm-hmm. Is that person being a dick? Absolutely. Do I hate that they're causing us a headache? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it something that just because they're trying to poke the bear that we should shut down unless they're being a bit more flamboyant in their words?
Yeah.
You know, if someone posted a photo of a gun and said Trump 2020 and F all the rest of you,
well, yeah, I was just
taking it down.
I was just going to bring that up. Somebody posted a Trump mug, which on its own is not a political statement. And I don't want people to hear me say that and say, well, it is. No, look, I don't really fully believe that, because again, sure. that's like posting something that you know is good. That person knew that there were going to be people who pushed back.
Sure.
It ended up being way harder. The conversation kind of went off the rails.
Sure.
And that's when we have to pull something. Whatever it was. What is it, a gun? Was it a bouquet of flowers that people didn't like? Whatever it is, if it's going to cause a giant argument, that's not what the page is about. Go yeah. argue on your own. It's yeah. gone.
When there's an old saying that one death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic. When we have one person being a jerk in the comments, we delete it.
Yeah.
And if they insist, we ban them.
Yeah.
But when the entire comment section of a post gets out of hand, 40 people breaking a rule, I'll turn off comments and yeah. say, hey, look, your post isn't inherently the wrong thing, but the comment section is so out of control, we're just going to shut this down.
Right.
I think that it is a political statement to post it, but that doesn't mean our rule in HBS is no political arguments, no political debates.
Yeah.
If you're wearing a Trump shirt or if you're wearing an Obama shirt, if anyone decided to crap on you for wearing an Obama shirt, same thing. Delete it.
Yeah.
Delete the comment. Tell them to keep the comment. Just because something might inspire a feeling in you does not give you the right to speak up and be ugly. It's as simple as that, whether it's a gun photo or it's a political photo.
He was looking at the camera.
Yeah, so I'm looking sure right at the camera, so everyone hears
he's
me.
He's not messing around.
Wade went to a Trump rally, and you couldn't tell it was a Trump rally, but everyone kind of knew, because everyone knew that he was in town. Trump, it was like a Toyota Center event or something, mm-hmm. and all he did was post a photo of the booze he snuck in and didn't make any other political commentary, and the comments blew up. Just because something inspires a feeling in you to be outraged or to be angry or to trigger you does not mean that it's okay for you. It is not a license to just be ugly, to be vindictive, to be shit. Well, I try not to cuss because Jack's not here. Try not to be incendiary. It's not a right for that. That's as simple as that. If you see something you don't like, you can either leave the group or learn to tolerate each other.
Yeah.
Even in society. Right. So imagine if you expanded HBS to 330 million people in a country shaped like, Florida looks like a wang. And, you know, America is essentially a Facebook group. We are a society, Houston Bourbon Society. There are people that have different feelings than you, that operate in different lanes than you. The problem is that when you look through a feed, you're exposed to Instagram accounts, right? If I'm not into guns and they offend me and they trigger me, I'm not going to follow that Instagram account. Mm-hmm. I can remove it from my feed. In a Facebook group, it's like people are afraid to simply block each other or to snooze or unfollow each other, because why?
I think some people, and it's in
imagine
the minority.
Imagine quitting Instagram just because yeah. of one account as opposed to just unfollowing account.
And we've had people quit HBS over disagreements on deleting their post, even when we send them a nice message.
Sure.
We appreciate you
outrage.
Contributing.
Furious.
But this is something we can't allow. People have to realize that the group is America. It's going to have different points of view.
Different walks of life.
And
yeah.
the group is not going to enforce rules based on your political stance.
That's it. It's
going to try to be balanced as well as we can. We're imperfect, and sometimes our own opinions come into it. I try to be as objective as I can.
Same.
Before making a decision. But people always see it as you're attacking their stance. It's really not the case.
You know, it's crazy. Alan Denny, who is someone I love and has been on the show a bunch, Alan is so far right. Not the racist kind, but he's just very Republican, very pro. Alan And a whole group of HBSers, some that have even left, have said that the group censors too many people. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole group on the left side who feel like we don't censor anybody.
Right.
It's this, like, you can't win no matter what you do. You just have to try to...
And as you said, the left side loves to say, like, the admins are gutless. And,
oh, yeah.
And, like, they don't want to take a stance.
Someone said...
And it's like,
yeah,
you don't know what we're doing behind the scenes, yeah, talking to people about... And all the drama that happens behind the scenes.
You know, it's funny. One, just to prove how... a summation of my feelings is simply that I think there is a whole section of the group that don't like it. But there's movies that glorify the connection. John Wick glorified, there's a bottle of Blanton's, every whiskey nerd sees it, everyone who's seen the movie loves it. There is a connection directly tied to the aesthetic of these, a well-dressed man with a nice watch, fighting, killing, with his beautiful gun collection and these beautiful, yeah, gun safes. There, that aesthetic does appeal. So it has its whole audience.
I think, and obviously, again, back
is it
to
promoting
the point,
killing people? Does watching a movie?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm
kind
just
of
so,
that does, but I think, and not everybody's going to agree, as we said, because we're never going to catch everybody. But I think that the stance we've taken is well balanced and fair.
I agree.
Because if you want to say that guns and alcohol together is irresponsible, we're saying we'll trust our members. However, we don't want them to be pointing it or
that's
the
middle trigger. Ground.
That's
right.
The middle ground.
Yeah.
But we're not going to say no guns, because it's just an accessory that's sitting on a table that is another, it's a toy that they want to show off. People, as you said, you like to post with your badass knives,
yeah,
in the background.
If I'm cooking, I make a delicious meal, which the extent of that is whatever goes on a grill. And I post the knife we used, and which is something that is common in food. Right? Posting chef's knives, and there's a whole following.
And people could say, well, a knife isn't the same, or whatever it is that you're putting is not the same as a gun. But back to guns, that is not a dangerous thing to have a gun. It's legal to have a gun.
So
it's,
some would
it's
feel like
different.
It's dangerous, to be fair. Some would feel like just owning them is a danger, and it automatically increases.
Yeah,
and there's statistics to show the dangers of owning. I get all that.
Yeah.
I completely get that. But it's legal. And there is not a definitive line as to whether it's good or bad, right? There is a whole section of the population that feel like it's a good thing, that it's not inherently bad. And there's a whole section that feel like it is. And there's a middle ground, too. Michael Canfield said, look, I've owned guns. I've grown up around guns. I don't care for the aesthetic. I think that guns and booze don't mix, which this is what drives me nuts about that. There are certain things you can say that look great on a coffee mug or great on a T-shirt, like guns and booze don't mix. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. But what they really mean is not that you can't have a drink at dinner and then drive home. Mm-hmm. What they really mean is that you can have a drink at dinner, don't have 12 drinks at dinner, and then drive home. The nuance of that phrase, drinking and driving doesn't mix, the vast majority of that, the truth of that saying is that it's not saying you can't drink at all and don't drive. It's really saying you can be safe.
It's about being responsible.
It's about being responsible.
Right.
To say booze and guns don't mix sounds good on a T-shirt, but it's a bit intellectually dishonest because that's not what it really means. And there are people who, again, the assumption is they're getting drunk, it's a redneck party, and they're playing with guns. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is we're taking a picture of a pretty bottle,
yeah,
next to a pretty gun, and by themselves and separately, it, yeah, wouldn't be an issue.
It's and to get back to when you asked me how I feel about it, my opinion has changed. I've become more comfortable with there was a time where, like, seeing a gun to me was it was like, why do you need to have that gun in the picture? Now I get it. I mean, I get it. My wife has the same reaction. She had a traumatic thing happen when she was younger involving a gun, and just being in the presence of one is too much for her. And I think that's one extreme. And the other, you know, on the lower end is the people who just feel a little uncomfortable when they see one. And those are the people who see the gun posts, whether it's tasteful or not. And they feel uncomfortable. Block that person.
Should we consider those who might have lost a loved one to a gun or been traumatized by a gun, should we consider those feelings in allowing those things?
I don't think so.
Why?
Because it's a slippery slope. And then, you know, do we ban car photos because someone was hit by a Corvette? I mean, I think that it's we can be sympathetic towards those people, but to those people, I would just say, block that person if it bothers you. There were too many trigger points, pun intended, that will set people off, and we can't cater to all of those.
There is an overwhelming sentiment, and I'm open to this pushing back on this idea. There is some people in those camps that feel like we should be considering those who might be, no pun intended, but I don't have another word for this, triggered by these posts, and maybe they lost someone in a school shooting. I know someone, I work with someone, a friend of mine, whose wife was lost in the Santa Fe shooting, the school shooting. And he has not let it deter his feelings on guns. He points his anger at the individual. But that's not everybody. So the question comes down to, should we change our entire society because of those things? And some people feel like we should. And I can't argue with that. Yeah. My feelings is that we can't. My feelings is that there are many things that we know, people who drink whiskey who've lost people to drunk drivers. If they were still drinking whiskey, that means that they're obviously okay with it. Obviously, they're still driving. But if they, the only way I would consider their feelings there is if somebody was being irresponsible, right? If they were in their car taking photos of themselves, doing a bottle chug.
Putting themselves in a situation that could cause a tragedy like the one that has affected that person.
That I agree with.
Yeah.
The person who's got a gun pointed at something and their finger on or off the trigger, doesn't matter, but the fact that they're pointing a gun at something and there's a dog in the background or a kid off to the side, that is inherently dangerous. That is something that we should consider.
And even for the people who right now, as you say, that are thinking it's not for me because I'm responsible, that's fine. But we can't start rating people and say, well, this person is safe and that person shouldn't be doing this. It's just, you have to just make the blanket and say, we just don't want to see that. It's just like, you know, if somebody's parents were stabbed, that doesn't mean we can't show knives. But don't show your knife over your wrist, or to somebody's neck.
Yeah, if somebody had posted a joke, even a joking photo with a knife to someone's neck.
Yeah, that's
even husband and wife, right? That's that might trigger someone for domestic abuse.
Yeah,
and it's inherently dangerous.
Well,
we delete it.
And running the group, I don't want to be the government again. I don't like to have too many rules or to tell people what to do or how to behave. But I also don't want to be responsible if we just start allowing everything, that a gun goes off or somebody's hurt. And it's because they saw everybody doing it all the time, and they thought, I'm going to do it, and a finger slipped.
So I'll be honest about something that happened a couple years ago. So I knew it was fake, and I was in a real weird position as an admin. But about 3 years ago, a local distillery filled a bottle of whiskey with tea and sealed it. And jokingly posted the photo or a video in HBS of them chugging the entire bottle, and people being like, "Oh my God, he chugged the whole bottle!" And then another person videotaped the a couple of videos.
Yeah, let me guess, an actual bottle.
No,
actually drinking it.
Posted a couple of videos 30 minutes later and an hour later of how that tea was affecting them, but it was all a show. It was all fake. But they're like driving the forklift, passed out on a bench. But it was just a show. It was just a joke. I was in a weird spot because I didn't feel like I could control what a distillery does. It's none of my business. They're not really breaking the law. I know it's just a joke, but I also agreed not to expose the joke. So I let it be. And later realized that it does promote irresponsible behavior, whether it's a joke or not. It may inspire someone to do the same thing. And it's something that we don't want to encourage. So we took the stance that we wouldn't allow that again. So my stance on how we run HBS is the exact same stance that I feel like our society is run. If someone's doing something... you want to be gay, you can be gay. I don't have a problem with you being gay. I'm very libertarian. I'm all for personal freedoms as long as you're not affecting other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but the truth is, you posting a photo of a really nice rig next to a bottle or a pair of shoes is not inherently dangerous. And if it sends a message to idiots who think, oh, I see a gun and a bottle next to each other, so therefore I'm going to go chug a whole bottle and pew, pew, pew. That's not my responsibility. That's on that idiot.
But remember that some of those people, some people are idiots, actually idiots, but I think most of them are people who, like I said, my initial reaction is just a little bit of discomfort.
Sure. Oh, no, time I see it, it's cringe because I realize that all they're doing is it's a flex. That's all it is. It's just as cringy when I see someone pose in front of their car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but when you post a picture of you posing in front of your new car, regardless of what that car is, saying, I'm so happy, we feel so blessed, we just got a new car, go kill yourself. Yeah. Like, that is not, I shouldn't say that anymore. Scratch that out.
Last time I was on the show, that's what you talked about.
I just think it's simply a vain attempt to say, I could afford a car.
But let me play devil's advocate on that, even though I'm so back and forth on it. You know, I've made fun of it. I've made fun of it myself by posting power tools with my bourbon, a leaf blower the other day, just to make the point. But it's also making both points. It shows a little bit that it's kind of silly, but also everything we do is a flex. That the vanity that's been created in the world around social media, we're all in it. Anytime you post a picture of yourself online, why are you doing that?
I love Morgan Weber.
Anything.
Love Morgan Weber, but one of his good friends, he's a friend, is also a photographer. So when he invites his friend on these Kentucky trips or these hunting trips, what does the photographer do?
Yeah,
he
takes photos. Awesome pictures of them.
And Morgan catches a ton of flack for bringing around a photographer everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get that if that's your thing. If I'm guilty of it. I've flown private a couple times.
Yeah.
Every time, there's going to be a photo. I'm sorry. It's fun. It's silly.
Before you do the show, you have your makeup team work on you.
Yeah. They don't do a very good job.
Yeah.
Even in doing a show in which I'm the focus and making a cartoon character that looks like me, there's a bit of vanity there. Anytime you put yourself out there as a brand or an image.
It's marketing.
It's marketing.
Yeah.
I caught so much shit. Sorry. Third segment? Fourth segment? Third?
You got it.
I've caught so much flack for Whiskey Pete and putting him on bottles and selling merchandise with his name on it as being a vain thing, but that's the brand of the Whiskey Social. That's the brand of our festival.
Yeah, when it comes to business, to me, I'm not going to say there's no vanity, but it's different. But
it is different. You're building a brand that is something that you're supposed to do. It's what everyone does. Coca-Cola is famous. Do you know that Coca-Cola is single-handedly responsible for what we think Santa Claus looks like? That's not what he looked like until the early 1900s when Coca-Cola came out with that branding. And it's been an ongoing thing with the white polar bears and Santa Claus and all these things for literally 100 years. There is nothing inherently wrong with branding your business. There's also nothing inherently wrong with being part of the social media zeitgeist. To take pictures of yourself. I get that selfies get annoying. I get that duck lips get annoying. I get that seeing guns can get annoying. It's not your bag.
Yeah.
But just because it's not your bag, and this is the most important part of this show, just because it's not your thing doesn't mean that I have to shut it down. And me choosing to leave people alone and let them enjoy their thing when they're not being dangerous is not me choosing to avoid conflict or me being a weak leader. There are many things we put our foot down on and burned a lot of bridges just saying, this is wrong, we're not doing this. But there is an audience for trucks.
Yeah.
There's an audience for shoes, not my audience. It's something that people enjoy, and I'm sorry, but my feelings are I shouldn't force someone to not express themselves. Even if you're like, well, it's not really about bourbon, doesn't matter. they've got bourbon in the photo.
We talk about fried chicken. We've brought lots of. It's not just the bourbon page. It's things that people enjoy, as long as it's not off on a complete tangent and absolutely, you know, no connection at all. The guns thing for me, if I was more into guns and I had a really cool one, I probably would post it. And even though I in my head I'm on the opposite side of it, where I really don't care. But I might, because I'm thinking about myself. I mean, people are probably tired of seeing my posts. I try to take a nice picture. I try to add elements to it and make it look good. If I had a gun, I'd probably do that. I probably would. I mean, I do have a gun, but if I had a really cool gun, would I post it? Maybe.
You've taken photos of your bike.
Right.
You've become someone who rides bikes around town.
Right. And I want the picture to look cool, and I show the bike with my sneakers.
If you put a bike in a bottle,
yeah,
there'd be an aesthetic to that. There'd be someone who appreciated the photo.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? Does it say that you should drive around with a bottle in one hand riding your bicycle? No, it doesn't say that at all.
Yeah.
What it says is here are two things that are worth looking at as an aesthetic, as magazines are made famous by what?
Yeah.
The photos in them.
And you make connections through those pictures. Not everybody may like the gun in the picture, but what happens in the comments, generally, other people say, like, that's badass. So you're making connections that way. And to me, it's okay, because some people say it has no business on a bourbon page, or what is this going to be, the guns and bourbon page? That's taking a huge jump. You know, if we get one or two a day in hundreds of posts, is it really a problem? If anything that we feel like is a gray area becomes like the thing, that's when we're like, all right, let's slow down with this type of post. But that hasn't happened. Right now, there's a little resurgence again, because there's somebody who has an Instagram page around that.
Yeah.
And the pictures are cool. So other people are starting to do it.
I'll be honest with you.
It's just another trend that's going to go up and down over time.
I don't care for the photos in general. It's not something and most of the time it's a bit of a cringe, a bit of a personal judgment that I make. However, I started following them on Instagram. The premise of that, the precedent set on that account on Instagram, is this aesthetic. And knowing that changes my feelings on it.
Yeah.
Meaning that if it's a posed Instagram doctored photo to look great, to turn up the saturation, like it's an actual photo shoot, I like that. When it's some tater in HBS posting something just next to their gun on their whatever, there's a bit more judgment there, because it feels like that person is really just trying to show off.
Let me address that real quick. So we had a virtual happy hour last night, and Andrew O brought that point up. He said, if it's a crappy picture and it's a crappy gun, why are we allowing that? And my comment was, well, people drink crappy bourbon, and we're trying not to judge them on it.
That's a perfect example.
They have as much
of
a right to post it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it doesn't have to be, everyone doesn't need to be a great photographer or have great bourbon or a great gun in the picture. If that's what they want to show, that's what they show.
I peeped in on that Zoom meeting, and Andrew also specifically told Ryan Holbrook that it's okay that you don't have a great collection or anything like super crazy. Just drink what you like.
Right.
So you can have that logic and line of thought with bourbon, but the same exact individual, Andrew, who I love, didn't care for that. And the gun photo he was talking about is complete garbage. It's a pistol wrapped in dollar bills. Like, it's got a paint job on it. It's all dollar bills with a crappy knife poked through the trigger hole. I agree, it's a garbage photo, but I don't even remember the guy's name. And you know what I just did?
He's going to remember your name.
I just kept scrolling.
Yeah,
I didn't let it bother me.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's my whole point, is you have the power. Yeah, you can
it's just like normal Facebook. It's just like normal Facebook. I have all my friends, you know, and relatives that looking at their political stances and the dumb things that they say.
Oh, my God.
Just keep moving.
Try not to engage. That's something I struggle with. I officially don't get into heated online debates. I don't post my strong political opinions, but I fall prey to that sometimes, where I slip up and I let something through. I found a funny tweet from Kumail Nanjiani that just was so, I thought it was comedically genius, but it inspired those to come up with commentary. And it just said, the tweet only said that he's just not response to anybody. He just said, he's so stupid. He's just so incredibly stupid. He's so stupid that you know exactly who I'm talking about, and I don't even have to say his name. Comedically, I thought it was genius, and obviously he was talking about Trump. I'm not pro-Trump. I'm not pro any, like, I'm all for personal freedoms. I'm more libertarian. I align more with the independents, although they don't stand a chance of ever winning. But I just thought the comedy of that tweet was so funny, so I posted it. And of course, all the comments came out, Nancy Pelosi, like everyone just kind of...
You can't say anything online.
Anything online.
And that's like a good, you know, circle around back to the guns, that there's always going to be somebody that's offended. If you don't like it, pass by, block that person.
I haven't had Mr. Pink. Why don't you pass that down here? I understand, and I hope nobody's offended by this. I'm going to really try to express in the intro, if you have real strong feelings about this, don't watch this episode. But by the way, do you want some?
Oh, no, thank you.
I'm trying to approach this with as much reasonability and level-headedness as possible. I don't care for the photos. I can definitively say that they're not inherently dangerous to have two inanimate objects next to each other. If you could take a photo of a gun separately and no one complain, or a bottle separately and no one complain, all of a sudden they're in the same photo, that doesn't magically do something dangerous. Does it send the wrong message? If I think taking photos of someone holding guns and holding a bottle and being crazy, that sends the wrong message. Having them in the same photo? No, I disagree. Is it worth losing your job over? Look, if your employer wants to fire you, that doesn't mean that you're right. It doesn't mean that we should now, that just because your employer takes the stance of something as dangerous, which, by the way, Nicholas Talamantes worked for the distributing tier and has taken plenty of photos. I disagree with Adrian's point that you could lose your job, but even if you did lose your job, that doesn't mean you're right. There are things that you, like the NFL, they sign a, what's it called? Not a code of conduct.
Yeah.
But like there's certain things, a morality clause.
Yes.
Those morality clauses are based on the perception that that organization wants to have. That does not mean that as a civilization we can allow these things. It means that that company wants to restrict those
private
things.
Organizations can do what they want.
Yeah, because what they're trying to do is avoid association with something that would be untoward for their brand.
Sure.
But that's not, to your point, that doesn't govern what we think is moral as a society. It's just what these certain brands choose to be associated
these
with.
These private companies.
Or not be associated with. But to go back to your point, it goes back to a conversation that we had two episodes ago. The reason why people react in this way, it's because they're rewarded and incentivized to react in this way, because we live in a society now to where social media allows us to for everyone to have a voice, and there is no reward for being reasonable or level-headed. You are rewarded for being sensational. You are rewarded for being triggered. And so you're actually heralded, because what happened, this outrage culture snowballs. And so from either one side of the fringe or the other, you're lifted up and you're like, yes, this is what I feel. And so therefore it's the right thing. And so going back and forth and trying to be reasonable about it, there is no reward in that. That's not a commodity that we deal with anymore in social media.
And virtue signaling is an important part of a lot of people's lives. It's saying, hey, I'm a better person.
It is
progressive in this way.
And then on the other side, gaslighting is a very important part of some people's life too. It's a very effective way of communicating in their eyes.
And unfortunately also part of the reward system is not just people that agree with you. It's the tears of the snowflakes. People want.
Stop saying that word.
They want. I don't use that word. I'm putting my, you know, those words into these people's mouths. You know, I don't use that. I hate it, but that's what they say. They love to see the pushback and the people crying about whatever it is that they're talking about.
Sure.
And it's trolls. And trolls eat tears. That's what they, you know, it's part
so,
of,
so
they want
do?
A negative reaction.
Do you storm out of a group and decide you don't want to be a part of it, or do you block people? And for those who are wondering, that was Brandon. Brandon was off mic or off camera. I love the idea of him contributing to the podcast as we go. There's a famous Stephen Fry quote that says, it's now very common to hear people say that I'm rather offended by that. As if that gives them some certain rights. It's actually nothing more than a wine. And it's something I've always loved. When it comes to comedy, when it comes to anything, being offended and projecting your offendedness, you choose. It's a complete choice to be offended by something. And it doesn't mean that it's a wrong choice. There are certain things that are great to be offended by. If someone said something ugly about my wife or about my family, me being offended is valid. And that's to say that there are plenty of times that being offended is valid, but there are also plenty of times that being offended is not valid.
Yeah.
And it's even less valid that we should now project your offensiveness over an entire population so that you're happy. And then you're transferring your unhappiness, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to...
The fact that you're unhappy that we allow these things, you're taking this person's joy to make you feel better, and now he feels like this group is too censoring,
and that's an important point, is the other side. You know, I'm not saying that we need to make massive changes to rules and laws so that we don't offend people, because there will always be people offended. But if you and I are in a room and I do or say something that offends you...
Like wear pink?
I shouldn't do that thing. I shouldn't do that thing anymore.
This is really good, by the way. It's my first taste of Mr.
Is
Pink.
It really the first?
Yeah. I didn't go. It's the first trip I've ever gone on, or didn't go on.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
I agree with you completely. Michael Canfield said it best. I felt like he's in the more reasonable camp, though one night he did have a couple drinks and was like, I can't stand this. But you move on, right? And I know it sucks, but you just move on. There are plenty of things I don't care for.
We're not in a utopia, you know, that to your own personal beliefs. You're always going to run across things you don't like. And people have to learn how to deal with that. Again, as long as we're not being personally, disruptive to each other and hurtful. If I'm doing something that offends you, I'm not going to do it in front of you. That's the key, right?
It's the technology that makes it impersonal. It makes it a little bit easier to slip into that more personal attack. That, you know, the things where you're being more condescending. When you're in a room with somebody, even if you don't agree with them, most times that's not where you're going to go.
Sure.
You're not going to go straight to sarcasm or to attack their beliefs as a person. You're going to do what it takes to find middle ground so you don't feel uncomfortable
with
one another.
And that's the danger of social media. You know, through all the politics that have really made social media much, much worse in the last few years, I saw a meme, and I forget the exact words, but I'll paraphrase. It's essentially, just when you think the world is ending and everybody sucks, like, go outside to your neighbor and I bet you that person will sit down and have a drink with you.
Yeah.
Because we're all humans. I mean, I have lots of friends that I met through HBS that have opposite political views. We get along fine. But once you get online, that's when everything starts to become written words that are interpreted. People, again, get hardcore and they want to be badasses, and everything changes. And in person, you're not going to do that.
There's a whole section of my personal feed that allows me to judge some of my Facebook friends immediately based off the nonsense that they post. Drama with an ex-wife, a baby mama, these things that are, let me know, kind of, I judge that person. I still love that person. I still like that person. We're still friends. But when I see those things, when you put yourself out there on social media, things are going to cause people to judge you. I am sure there have been plenty of things that have inspired judgment on my part. But I'm not going to enforce or hate or, you know, most of the time with these political posts, I just avoid altogether, even though I have my own thoughts. I'm not going to force that on you. And I don't think, I feel like we're beating a dead horse. You can keep scrolling. You can block those people yourself so that you clean up the feed of that group for you. Right, where you remove the people that you have assessed a judgment on, you can block those people, and you never, that way the goods and bads of that group have now been shaped to your personal world, your personal preference. I can delete this person, delete that person, all of a sudden this group is more fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do that, or you can rage quit the group and talk trash everywhere else, like,
or make digs every time the person posts.
What are you doing? You're making, I mean, it's like I said, imagine quitting Instagram instead of just unfollowing a specific person.
Well,
that's what you do. When I have my Instagram feed come up and I hate seeing these photos, unfollow that person.
Right.
What are we doing?
Or mute or whatever. There's a lot of tools where you can stop seeing their content without unfriending them or whatever the case is. Can I tell you what for me, what personally works. And sometimes, I mean, not it's not even intentional.
How long ago did you unfollow me? Is that what you're about to say?
No, this is, I actually saw that conversation about this whole conversation. I saw that thread unfold. So that's why I'm very interested in this conversation today. But just from what I've had to do from as a reformed social media arguer, debater, whatever you want to call it. What works for me is like sometimes I am, you know, inspired or triggered or whatever you want to say to write a response, and then I delete it.
Get
it all out of your system. Like say everything, you know, write everything down that you need to say, and then you're by the time I get to the end of it, I'm like, yeah, I don't need to say this. Yeah. Like because. Am I changing hearts and minds?
Nope.
You know, is that what's going to happen on social media?
Never.
Nope.
I think there have been plenty of people that have responded to me in a completely concise and reasonable way that I've immediately changed my opinion on. And I really, every time that happens, I feel a sense of pride because I feel like there was a moment where they approached it in the right, healthy way. I heard them. They made a good point, and I couldn't refute it. And I said, okay. That actually,
unfortunately,
I can't argue
you're
with
in the minority. I mean, most people that is the minority. Aren't there.
Sure, but it's something that I strive for. If you approach it in the right way, and I think everyone should strive for that, either avoid it altogether or strive to be open-minded.
Otherwise, you're blinding yourself in your own beliefs if you're not
Absolutely.
Willing to change.
But these conversations do one of two things. These open-minded conversations where you go back and forth, you really pull apart an issue, it either strengthens your resolve or it allows you to change your opinion because you're presented with either facts or a reasonable point, and you can augment that. And that's what happened with the gun trigger post. We used to allow them to point guns at stuff, and then it was brought to our attention, hey, by the way, that is inherently dangerous. And look, here's a picture of a kid in the downrange. Oh, God, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Let's put a stop to it. I'm always open to that dialogue, but you have to be open. But both sides have to be open, and unfortunately, we aren't seeing that.
Yeah. The last point I wanted to make a second ago we were talking about unfollowing and why people don't do that. It reminds me of Howard Stern, the love to hate thing. If you remember in the movie, they talked about people who are Howard Stern fans watch or listen to the show an average of 2 hours a day.
Delicious.
Dude, that. This is so good. I was just.
This? What's the secondary price on this?
You want to know?
Yeah.
$800.
God, it's gone up. I remember when it was $600.
It's one of the top three favorite rums I've ever had.
One of the most fantastic rums ever put in a bottle.
It's killer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So Howard Stern, listen to 2 hours a day.
If you're a fan, you listen 2 hours a day. If you hate Howard Stern, you listen 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
It's like people love to hate. They love to see it and get outraged. And then to comment and throw in their digs.
I feel like this episode in particular is going to be very widely viewed, and I'm worried that it's going to be more incendiary than intended.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like
bet you $100.
I felt like both sides are represented. If either side isn't willing to move a little to the middle, then I don't know what to say. Again, we try to be balanced. Well,
then find yourself speechless because there's no room in the middle anymore. Those are where the quote unquote bad guys are.
The people who
won't pick a side.
We're not going to change minds.
What's
obviously
that saying? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. No. You can be moderate and that be a decision. Moderate does not mean that you don't want to avoid confrontation. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you don't stand for anything. No, it means that, hey, I'm a bit more reasonable. Moderate should be the reasonable spectrum. Like, hey, that's a good point. I don't agree with that, but your other point's good. It's not hard.
Yeah.
I did not grow up in a heavy gun culture, but Texas overall has been a bit lax on that. So I get it when you come from out of state and you're not from here and you don't care for guns. Mm-hmm. Do you be in a group that sees even one post a day for it to be really bothersome? Eric Sandler commented on it. He said he hates it. I understand you hate it. But I don't care for Masterson's or any number of other bourbons that are posted that I know is going to – Bibb & Tucker is going to be a controversy because every time Bibb & Tucker gets posted, people get riled up about it.
Yeah, they trash it.
Especially the veterans in the group. They want to trash it. Okay, just keep scrolling.
Yeah.
You can if one person in particular – and I know we got to go. If one person in particular, all their posts are something that you just don't dig – you can remove that.
Yep.
And you could still enjoy the good of the group without trying to enforce your intolerance. And that's exactly what this is. Anytime you hate something so much that you're willing to insult and rage, that's your intolerance of something.
Or discomfort, again, just not comfortable with the idea.
That's somewhat
synonymous.
Uncomfortableness is a level of intolerance.
Yeah.
Your intolerance of something that you don't care for, you can't project that on the people running the group as their fault for not obliging you at every whim. I'm sorry. Long story short, I'm hoping that this episode is heard in a way that was intended. I'll say this, we want people to be able to enjoy themselves as long as they're being safe and not doing anything dangerous. Your definition of dangerous is not our definition of dangerous, and I'm sorry about that. But I hope that you understand our position is not a position of weakness or avoidance. It's more of a position of what we feel is reasonable.
Trying to be balanced.
Yeah, and I think most groups have found a balance of allowing it. Some groups have taken the stance otherwise, just said, nope, we don't want any part of it. And that's, I feel like that's more of a political statement.
Yeah.
That's ban it is more of a political statement.
I said last night, if it was the Philly Bourbon Society, there would be no guns and it wouldn't be an argument. It would be the end of the day. It's cultural differences.
That's fantastic. We got to go. Thanks so much for coming on. It's the first time we've done a little over an hour in quite some time, so I really appreciate it. I'm open to your feedback. Feel free to message me and give me your thoughts. Just remove the insult, type it out, maybe delete it a few times, then retype it. I'm willing to address any valid points in the next episode. Thanks for coming, Todd. Yeah. Cheers.
Balcone's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.